Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
Wednesday, May 1st, 2024 is the date, and make sure that you accept this welcome in that I give you to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on X at GM Score Kuhn 71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 929. Connor, what's the word?
What's up, man?
You have your gift in, Amazon 2-day shipping on Amazon Prime, your gift for me tomorrow for my birthday? Did you have it shipping?
My presence.
Oh, you say that. You said that last year, too. That's tough.
Is it really what I said last year?
Yeah, you said my present is your present.
Well, at least I'm consistent.
Yeah, I guess so. It's very disappointing, though, I got to say. Very, very disappointing. But we're a day away from my birthday. And I don't really care about it, even though I keep mentioning it.
29 is weird. You turn 28 or 29?
29.
Yeah, 29 is a weird age because you're like kind of in limbo. You're not, you don't feel
30,
like you're 30, part of your 20s anymore.
One.
And what I'm saying is that you don't feel, like personally, I don't feel like I'm part of the 20s much anymore. I can't claim the 30s yet. So we're kind of just in no man's land.
Yeah, like 20 and 21 year olds way different than the 28, 29.
Completely different human beings. Different. Yes.
And that's the switch from Gen Z and then to millennials, right? That's the switch. Right?
That keeps getting moved. I have no idea.
96.
I just know that I'm a
cutoff for millennials. 96 is the cutoff for millennials. Even though there's some people born in 96 that probably act more like the next generation. But that's beside the point. Welcome in. 3 hours of Talk on the Way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We are going to open on overreaction, not an overreaction. In just a moment, we'll have some Tiger basketball recruiting to discuss, even though there's some questions sort of about a certain guy that is in the city of Memphis today and what he's actually doing, Cion James from Tulane. We will discuss him and TJ Bamba as well, the Villanova transfer that the Tigers have been tied to pretty heavily. And I know we discussed it yesterday in the Blitz. But I really want to talk about it a little bit more, because with that Coach Prime story, the Colorado story that was published by The Athletic with Xavier Smith, the DB who left and went to Austin Peay, and he had some bad things to say about Coach Prime because he didn't get in the transfer portal and Coach Prime never looked his way for an entire year before he transferred to Austin Peay. There's been social media wars on this damn story. And quite frankly, I think it's much ado about nothing – But there's been some interesting sort of conversations about why The Athletic ultimately published the story, and they're well within their right to do so. But they're saying we're trying to humanize, the guys that ended up being set aside by Coach Deion Sanders. Well, okay, I can get behind that, but I think there's more people you need to humanize along the way if we're talking about college football and how this whole thing works year after year after year and the guys that get tossed aside by every program and told to get in the transfer portal. But we'll get to that in a second. We'll also talk some NBA playoffs. Last night was a fun night of NBA playoffs. Tyrese Maxey, there were some interesting stories this offseason about Tyrese Maxey and trades and things like that and how, you know, the 76ers are completely set in keeping him for long term. He showed why last night. They win 112-106 in OT, and they came back behind. 7 points from Tyrese Maxey in the last 28 seconds. Beautiful stuff there. Cavs take the lead against the Magic 3-2. They had that home game. And the Bucks stayed alive, even without Dame and Giannis. Kind of surprising. Very surprising, to say the least. But then Doc was asked after the game, are Giannis and Dame going to show up for game six? And he said they're very, very, very close. He gave three varies. I don't know how to read that, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see how we should read that. As far as guests are concerned, we'll be loaded from 5 o'clock on. Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock from the Daily Memphian of the Jeff Calkins Show. 5:30, we have our weekly Showboats guest. Daywood Davis will join the show. He's a Showboats wide receiver. He's 25 years old, so he's one of the younger guys on that roster. But he had some time with the Dolphins. He was at Western Kentucky, caught for 800 and 700 yards his last 2 years there. So it'll be a very fun conversation to have with Daywood at 5:30. 6 o'clock, we need to catch up and try to sort through some of this Tiger basketball stuff. So we'll talk with Jason Munns about Tiger basketball, what he's hearing, how many damn commitment stories he has in the drafts right now. I think he estimated off-air at about 5 or 6. So we'll see. We'll see what ultimately happens. Then we'll hop into the Blitz, and we have a beekeeper situation. Yeah, I know you saw this, Connor. A beekeeper situation. That was nice. That was pretty cool. I like seeing stuff like that. The beekeeper had a personality on him, too.
Yes, he did. He was ready for the moment.
At the Diamondbacks-Dodgers game, I mean, he's bowing to the crowd, pumping up the crowd while he's trying to get this colony of bees out from behind home plate at Chase Field. And then, again... We'll talk about it later, but this is a shocker, right? A huge shocker. Shock to the system. Couldn't believe it. The Broncos didn't pick up the fifth-year option on their newly acquired quarterback, Zach Wilson. Shocker, right? I mean, I'm beside myself. Couldn't believe it. We'll talk about that when we get into the Blitz as well. But we open up every single Wednesday with overreaction, not an overreaction, so hit it, Connor.
Now, it's overreaction or not an overreaction.
We are to wild.
That's crazy.
Chill, homie.
On the Gabe Cujo from 92.9.
All right, Gabe. Tulane transfer Cyan James is visiting Memphis for a Grizzlies workout. There's some speculation he may also take a visit with Penny Hardaway. He is a 6'6", fifth-year wing that averaged 14-5-3 for Tulane a year ago on 38% from three, and they are involved with two wings right now, TJ Bamba and now Cyan James. There are a lot of Tiger fans that are questioning which they'd rather have, Cyan James. Is that answer overreaction or not an overreaction?
Now, this is something we need to work through because we're not totally sure that Cyan James, Cyan James from Tulane is actually going to take a visit with Memphis, but it would kind of make sense. He's in the transfer portal. They need a guy like him after losing out on Aaron Scott from North Texas. So if he is in the conversation, we're just going to, for the sake of this conversation, we're going to assume that they are going to try to reach out to him. I'm going to say it's not an overreaction. Cyan James, if they can get their hands on that guy, I want him in Memphis. Not only does he know this this city incredibly well, having played here a few times, having been in the AAC for 4 years with Tulane, he is 6'6". He averaged 14 points, five rebounds, three assists per game, shot 38% from three on 3.6 attempts per game last year. This would be a perfect fit to have as a wing. And the other part of this is One thing that I've really wanted to see, especially after last year, I wanted to see Penny get like high character guys, guys that will take a back seat, do some dirty work, play some defense. He fits that perfectly. And with the high character thing, he does a whole lot of work. He's done a whole lot of work for the past 3 years in the city of New Orleans trying to serve underprivileged youth with his foundation, the Sion James Foundation. So I respect everything about this guy. And if the Tigers, you know what's good for him, I think that Penny and Rick should try to see if he'll stay in Memphis for a visit and see if they can attach their name to him. With TJ Bamba, this thing has been really strange. Honestly, if they get a commit from him, you feel good about that as well. But he's sort of been putzing around a little bit. There's been some Oregon conversation, some Memphis conversation here and there. If they can get their hands on Sion James, I love this guy. You know, his high in the entire season came late in the season. He had 28 points. He had 22 points in the first game against Memphis when Tulane ultimately beat Memphis 81-79. He got better every single year he was at Tulane. He's got a lot of experience. He fits a clear role and need that you have right this second. I love this guy. I hope Memphis reaches out to him and gets him on a visit.
I think if you can get either guy, it's a huge get for Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tigers, especially for the type of team they're trying to build. Both of them match the Penny Hardaway scheme. They match the Penny Hardaway mentality. They are, you know, plus defensive players that can get it done on the offensive end. They take care of the basketball. They're high IQ. And that's why, you know, either way this goes, I'm going to be happy. And if you end up with both of them, that's a grand slam home run.
Now, let me bring, well, both of them, I don't know if it would make
it
would make a whole lot of sense, right? Because you still need a bunch of bigs, and you'd have four scholarships if David Jones comes back. You need to find some bigs. With the rest of your scholarships, I don't think you would make it.
6'6 would be one of the bigger guys.
I don't think it would make sense to take both. But here's my other question about it. Let's say David Jones does come back with both of these guys. You have PJ Haggerty, Colby Rogers, Tyrese Hunter, who seemingly could make up a backcourt, although we'll see what happens there. And maybe one of these guys could start. But like if David Jones comes back, he's going to start. How would you deal with rotations with another guy who plays the three at a very high level, plays defense, knocks down three balls, if David Jones comes back? You would have some issues on how to incorporate these guys. Now, I think Sion James is more likely to be a bench player because he's shown that he's a high-character type guy. Obviously, I don't know that for sure if he'd be okay with that. But, I mean, you look at TJ Bamba and Sion James, I don't think either of them would come to Memphis and expect to be a bench player. I think they would both want to start if they ended up transferring here.
Especially TJ Bamba. I would expect if he came to the University of Memphis, he's wanting to start. Ultimately, I think that the James speculation feels a bit more hopeful than reality.
Sure,
because I do think he's probably in the city. His priority is, if he's working out for the Grizzlies, it seems like his priority is trying to make it into the NBA. So,
and by the way, there was some, when it comes to reporting on these things, we need to get to the bottom of the story before we throw out the fact that they're visiting with Memphis. He's doing a Grizzlies workout.
Yeah.
And he may visit with Memphis, but we don't know that. We're trying to get to the bottom of it.
Right. And that's why right now it just feels like the priority should still be TJ Bamba. And I think getting him on campus and with this team would just be a huge win. Like, I'm a big fan of him ever since he, you know, came into the conversation for the University of Memphis. I've looked up a bunch of his tape, watched some of them. Dude is a hooper. He's a dog, and he's somebody that matches the identity, I think, that Penny Hardaway wants this program to have.
The reason I would say Sion James over him is, one, he's got familiarity with the AAC, and two, he's definitely a, when it comes with, you know, to volume and how many shots need to get put up, Sion James does not need as much volume to shoot efficiently. He was a 50% shooter where TJ Bamba was 43. And I know that's not that big of a difference, but I think that means something when you have this many cooks in the kitchen already offensively for Memphis. If it's PJ Haggerty and Colby Rogers and Tyrese Hunter, and then you add David Jones to that, you need somebody who will take a backseat offensively and give up a couple of shots.
I do think the rebounding matters too.
Yes.
Like him having those rebounding matters.
And getting teammates involved as a wing at 3 assists per game in college is pretty damn good, if you ask me.
Everything that we're saying, though, is a reason why it seems like he might have NBA hopes.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
Every time we say, like, you know, he makes his teammates better, he's a plus rebounder, he's a plus defender, he can shoot the three, kind of sounds
now,
like
it. If David Jones does come back, I think it would, you know, one of these two guys commits, let's just say that happens, David Jones comes back, it does create a very interesting situation that I don't think we can ignore. Because usually in the past we'd say, oh, too many good wings, good problem to have. And we just, you know, push it to the side. But we've seen It can be a problem. It can be a problem. And it may not be a good problem to have. It could be a bad problem to have, ultimately, if you don't know how to keep these guys happy and get them the amount of minutes and shots that they ultimately want.
I do. My only wish would be, I wish they were connected to more big guys.
Yes.
More bigs.
They need to be.
They need to be.
I mean, really, all we're looking at is
Dane Danger, Nick Jordan, and maybe David Jones.
Moose is really the only name that comes to mind right now of bigs they're tied to publicly. They could be doing it behind the scenes and keeping it quiet.
That Moussa announcement yesterday or tweet might be the most 2024 college basketball thing I've ever seen in my life.
From the Oklahoma State people saying, oh, he committed, but he's going to take a visit to Memphis.
He's committed, but he's still going to take a visit to his former school and this other school. And it's like, this is crazy. It's a dumb system.
It's just a foolish recruitment right now. We're talking about a fifth-year guy who's not going to be anybody's leading scorer by any stretch of the imagination. He's a role-playing five who can play that role really well. He can run up and down the floor. He's athletic. He can grab rebounds for you. He can block shots. That's what you need him to do. But the back and forth over it is getting to be a little ridiculous. It shouldn't be this heavy. He had his big couple of recruiting, processes out of high school when he was a five-star, and then ultimately when he left Memphis and was in the transfer portal. Those were his two big recruiting processes. This one should not be the way it is right now. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. But I'll say this. I think I'm warmer on the idea of Moussa back to Memphis than a lot of people. And I guess the only reason, though, I am is because I don't see them tied to a bunch of other bigs. And it seems like right now, if you're talking about publicly announced bigs that Memphis and Penny Hardaway are tied to, he's the best of the crop.
Right.
He's the only of the crop, quite frankly.
My hope is they're moving in silence kind of like they did with Hunter and Rodgers. Like, we didn't really see those coming as much, so I'm hoping that maybe there's a big guy somewhere that they're attached to that we didn't see on the way. So that is my hope, ultimately. Did you make anything of the Instagram Live last night with David Jones?
Yeah, I think I feel better about it, and that is news we will need to discuss. David Jones stayed out of the portal, so today was the, at 11:59 Eastern time, you have to have your name in the portal. Looks like David Jones is going to stay out of it. So it's either NBA or Memphis. And quite frankly, I should have known that's how that was going to play out. But when I saw it officially play out, I'm starting to lean. Returning to Memphis is very much on the table. I'm way more positive than I was 24 hours ago.
I tend to agree, and I think one of my main reasonings is, though, the way they operated with the JQ recruitment, and then when the price came out and them being like, no.
Jaden Quaintance.
Yeah, pretty quickly they were like, yeah, no, we're not going to get involved in that. That piqued my interest in thinking that maybe they needed to make sure that they had the funds to bring back a guy like David Jones plus some of these guys that they may be attached to. Because we talked about, if you got Quaintance, it was probably going to be him, but you weren't going to get this crop of guys. And it seems like Memphis decided to say, hey, we're going to keep our options open. We want to make sure that we have enough NIL for David Jones and whoever else may come with him. I mean, we've said it before. It would be a huge thing for the University of Memphis if David Jones comes back. You'd be one of the best players in the country in college basketball. I hope he does. I'm still kind of 50-50, but I would say in that
I'm
might be 60-40. Leaning. I might be leaning my way, Memphis.
I'm more 60-40 David Jones returns back to Memphis. And the reason
maybe I'm 51-49.
My biggest reason, Connor, is I just don't know he's going to get the answers he wants at the NBA level from these scouts. He can score. And he knocked down the three ball at a ridiculous rate last year, and you give him credit for that. But the turnovers, the lack of the defensive effort every single dime down the floor, I think those things need to improve before he thinks of himself as an NBA player. And he can do that with a year coming back to Memphis. He can improve upon those things, although he would be a year older, and that certainly docks you. But I just don't know if he's going to get the answers he wants, because you look at all these mock drafts, I haven't seen him in the late second round for any of them. He's an undrafted free agent type guy. And for those types of guys, you have to buckle down and play a hellacious amount of defense to be able to stick with a team. Look at Lester Quinones, right? That's a guy, he obviously ended up getting the volume of shots he wanted when he played for the Warriors G League team eventually, but he had to start by being a very good defensive player, and I think he is probably two or three times the defensive player David Jones is at this current juncture. So, and he was a year younger. So I don't know. I just don't. I don't think the answers he wants at the NBA level from scouts are really going to happen. That's why I think coming back to Memphis seems more likely.
Well, I wonder if
he'd make more money here.
Yes. Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I wonder if the idea from David Jones's camp might be, listen, we haven't gotten the second round projection that we were hoping for, because when he first announced that he, you know, was going to go into
obviously
the draft,
this process is just starting. So
yeah, a lot of us were like, okay, he might get a late second round, you know, projection, and if that happened, I could see him staying in the NBA draft. But if he's not getting that, and it would be a free agent signing, kind of like Kendrick Davis, what he went through in Orlester Quinonez, he might be thinking, okay, I can go back to Memphis, make a pretty penny, work on my game a little bit more. If I go into the NBA draft again, I still might be a free agent, but at least I'll have some more work on my game, and then I can go make money that way. So he might be looking at it and saying, which way am I going to make more money next year? University of Memphis might be the answer.
Now, I know that this was not a good basketball conference, the American Athletic Conference last year. I completely understand that. South Florida came along. FAU was always going to be a tournament team, and they figured it out. I'm looking around this conference now and just trying to find something. SMU's gone, even though they won 20 games last year. They struggled down the stretch, though. South Florida has lost their three best players. Chris Youngblood's now at Alabama. Selton Miguel is in the transfer portal. And Kayshon Pryor's doing the NBA thing, trying to see what he can do. And he's also in the transfer portal. John L. Davis, this was a great get for Cal. Awesome get for Cal. He ends up committing to Arkansas. I don't see the star power. I don't see a whole bunch of strong transfers that are deciding to come to this conference besides the ones that have ended up at Memphis. And I think the only other team you can look at that has done at least decent on the transfer portal and has a couple of guys that could carry over with Yoxel Lindeborg, he's coming back. UAB is the only other team that I can look at that really is doing what they should be doing this offseason.
I think it's very similar to the Memphis football program, where you look at the conference and you say, there's no reason, why they shouldn't win it.
No excuse. You have to win the regular season title with what it looks like will be there.
Absolutely.
There's no one else. FAU is going to be a shell of themselves, if not less than a shell of themselves. South Florida, same thing. You sort of feel bad for Amir Abdur-Rahim in a way.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Because he did. But I mean, that team was awesome, and he coached very well, especially in conference play, and all of his guys still get in the portal and say, screw it. And he was kind of outward, I think, a week ago or a couple weeks ago about, you know, collusion and people reaching out to his players while they're still on campus. Well, first of all, you're fighting a losing battle, but I do kind of feel bad for you from the mere fact that usually when you have a season like South Florida had, you know, bringing that program from the dead, getting into the top 25, the AP top 25 at some point in the year, you'd think some guys would have a little bit more loyalty and want to stay on campus. None of them had that, though.
Well, that's what we kind of talked about yesterday. Hopefully, some rules for that are coming soon.
We'll see. It
needs to happen. There has to be a commitment from these players at some point. Yeah. It's how it is operating right now is not sustainable. It's not.
I agree. But I guess my is on the timeline that it happens, and then ultimately what it will look like. Because there's going to be some back and forth.
I think at minimum, it's got to be 2 years. You got to be here 2 years to get your money.
We'll see. But I don't even – South Florida for basketball doesn't – the NIL, their NIL collective probably is not that great for the basketball side. I'll say
that
much.
That's fair. All right, yesterday we discussed a Coach Prime story in The Athletic about a transfer by the name of Xavier Smith. He was a DB that was told to get in the portal and did not. And then he said he felt spurned by the treatment that followed. Prime wouldn't look his way, and ultimately he transferred. Since the story came out, Colorado players and Prime himself have been having social media wars. Shador Sanders commented on the story saying, don't even remember him, to be honest. Must have been very mid at best. Writers from The Athletic have defended their story, which was written by Max Olson, saying it's an effort to finally humanize some of the guys that were forced into the portal by Prime. The story The Athletic wrote is fair. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
It's fair. I without question. But I want to make it very clear. Their explanation as to, oh, we want to humanize some of these players is not fair. That's not true. What you did, you're humanizing players based on the amount of clicks you're going to get, because the ultimate goal, the ultimate guy that this story is about Coach Prime, and we know he's part of the best hits rotation right now when it comes to sports media. People want to click on Coach Prime's name and see what's going on within that program. There are so many other players, as I mentioned yesterday, that have been told to get in the portal right here in Memphis. Ryan Silverfield makes no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's sometimes where he's got to clear out the roster, get another scholarship, find somebody who can help him right now, right? And maybe some of those players would come back and say bad things about them if they were given the chance to. But at the same time, if you wrote it about Ryan Silverfield and everything was all the same, it wouldn't get as many clicks with The Athletic. So I think ultimately for them to say, oh, we're just trying to humanize guys. Yeah, you're trying to humanize guys to get more clicks because the ultimate goal is to get after Coach Prime, right? Like, let's not fake about the reasons we're writing this. Because if you're trying to humanize people, I have a couple of stories off the top of my head that you need to go figure out right now. Remember Mel Tucker? He was out at Michigan State. They had a bunch of guys who transferred out. How about you go humanize the players that had to leave because of the fallout of Mel Tucker? Why don't you go humanize those kids? How about this, too, Connor? How about this? The Northwestern hazing scandal? Pat Fitzgerald left? Let's go humanize those kids, right? But they haven't done that because it doesn't get as many clicks as Coach Prime. Humanizing players that left because Coach Prime told them to leave. Like I said yesterday, what Coach Prime did his first spring there and what he continues to do telling guys to leave happens everywhere. Does he do it a little bit more? Sure. We could argue that they deserved a little bit more compassion. But
At the same time, Kirby Smart, when he tells guys to leave, he probably doesn't show much compassion. Nick Saban over the years probably doesn't show that much compassion when he tells guys to leave. So I think it's very clear. It's a fair story to write. It's a truthful story. You're telling a story by getting Xavier Smith to speak up. But let's not try and paint it as, oh, we want to humanize these kids. You want to humanize these kids because humanizing the kids from the Colorado program with Coach Prime and the conversations they had with Coach Prime sells a whole lot more than anywhere else right now. And that's the truth of it.
I feel like there's been an overreaction to the story. I understand that, you know, the transfer portal and how Coach Prime used it and dealt with it may not have been very compassionate. And, you know, he basically walked in and said, bye. And yeah. I understand how that's a tough thing to happen, but it just seems like that happens across the country. Now, I would say I think the misstep that Colorado Coach Prime and his kids may be having is they're going on social media.
They're loud about it.
They're doubling down on it. The biggest difference between like Saban, Kirby Smith, Kirby Smart that does it, any coach that does it, they're not going on Twitter and then doubling down about it. But they're also not having stories written about them with kids leaving when it's a normal thing to happen. I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I don't understand the reaction to it. I've seen a lot of people be like, this is a horrible look for Shedeur Sanders. NFL teams are going to see his Twitter. And I'm like, the Raiders don't care about his tweets about Xavier Smith. Like, what are we doing? It just seems like quite an overreaction.
Much ado about nothing.
Yes,
right?
That's a normal thing that happens in college football every single year.
And the reason that it makes headlines and the reason that people read it and the reason that people have their takes is because it's Coach Prime. Because they're loud about it.
Can we also acknowledge the fact that the team that he said bye to won one game?
Yeah.
They won a single football game. Some people are pretending as if, oh, they only won four games last year. Yeah, that's a lot better than one game.
And I'll say this. I have plenty of questions about what this Colorado team is going to look like this year. There's some guys that they brought in that they thought were going to be unbelievable difference makers. And there was a guy who was a difference maker who already got in. Alton McCaskill was a guy they got from Houston who was the AAC, or he was a 1,000-yard rusher with Houston who came in, who already got in the portal this portal season after spring ball. Dylan Edwards, who was their starting lead running back with 4-star out of high school, he's in the portal. Like, I have questions about, you know, their ability to retain players and what they're actually going to look like heading into next year. But let's not try and act like The Athletic publishing this story and humanizing these players is for any other reason besides it's going to get the most traction.
Because absolutely.
It's Coach Prime, who's the ultimate subject, that is, he's polarizing. People want to read it. And that's what because if you wanted to just humanize a lot of these players, you would go talk to the Northwestern kids that had to deal with the hazing scandal and the ouster of Pat Fitzgerald. You'd go talk to the kids that had to deal with the fallout and the continued fallout from Mel Tucker at Michigan State.
Or you would or you would humanize other schools and other players that have been told, hey, this isn't going to be the school for you anymore when a new coach comes in. You could have done a whole story about the transfer portal and included multiple schools, but no, you
singled
you targeted
out
Colorado. And I'm just going to be honest again. I read the story.
Not bad.
Let's be honest. Prime was harsh, but he was honest. And he didn't really cross the line. I don't understand. I don't understand the reaction to the story. It seems like to me people that hate Coach Prime in Colorado are jumping all over and trying to use it as ammo.
How much of this, Connor, is just like it really feels like because of Prime and the deal he had with Prime Video and, you know, the peel behind the curtain to see how it looks at Colorado. Like, how much of this is people are finally seeing, damn, these guys don't get treated very well when they actually get to campus? Like, how much of it is that? I think it's a lot of that. Like,
probably.
People finally understanding it for the first time because Prime is so open and so honest about how this thing's going to go. So,
I just find it ridiculous that people are like, they got to start deleting tweets and stuff. I'm like, no, they don't. It's not that big of a deal. It just really isn't. It's much ado about nothing, like you said.
Yeah, but I will say this. They
don't double down on Twitter. Don't do that.
I don't think it's necessary.
Right.
And I don't think it's smart. Like, Shedeur coming out and saying the kid's mid.
He's not wrong.
I mean, the guy went to Austin Peay.
He's not wrong.
Wrong.
Let's also be honest about it. He went to the transfer portal and ended up at Austin Peay. All right?
Yeah. You can't be that wrong.
You're DB on a team coached by Coach Prime.
But, yeah, being nice, you know, is not a – it's a decent quality, and it doesn't feel like they're being nice. It's but just, maybe they feel so spurned, they feel maybe. Like they're being treated incorrectly, so they're going to
– Some are just –
They're going to give what they get.
Some are just pretending as if this is a gotcha story, and I'm like, it's not even close to that.
It's not even close to it. If you know about the ins and outs of how this thing works and how it's always worked in college football, it is the farthest from a gotcha story. It is normal day-to-day operations. That is what that was Xavier Smith. But, yeah, much ado about nothing. So let's go ahead and move on. Let's go ahead and grab a break. And when we come back, we have some NBA playoffs to talk about. The 76ers staved off elimination. So did the Bucks, and we need to discuss it on the other side. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
NBA playoffs are moving right along. Welcome back into the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Before I get into the games last night and what we're going to look at tonight, I just have to take a side here to say our fearless leader, Brad Carson, here at 92.9. Fade Brad is one of the best segments I've ever heard on.
It's unbelievable the run he's on.
I cannot even begin to understand how one becomes so bad at betting sports gambling. 0-3 last night, and he's 12-23 overall since the NBA playoffs began. And obviously, there's spread picks, so you know it's easier to just pick money line, that type of thing. 12-23. If you've been fading him, you are a rich person, right?
Honestly, he deserves a community service award because he is feeding families in the city of Memphis with Fade Brad.
It's honestly amazing. Like, even being not very good at sports gambling, you could probably be around 500. 12-23, he could potentially double up on his wins versus his losses tonight. On his losses versus his wins. Tonight, and I'll do this because I think this is a good public service to do. Tonight, he's got Miami plus 14 against the Celtics and the Mavs minus 2.5. Don't know how I feel about him, but I know that honestly, more often than not, just pick the other side and you'll be all right.
Weirdly enough, those would probably be my picks too. Well, it's out. Is Kawhi playing? Is he out?
Kawhi is out.
He's out, and it's in L.A.? Mm-hmm. Ooh, that one's tough. That one's tough.
Yeah. Kawhi should be out, I believe. Yeah, it should be out at least for this game. And then we'll see about game six. 12-23. Brad, thank you. Thank you. That's phenomenal. You have done a great service to the city of Memphis, a great service to the wonderful Jason and John show, which is obviously earlier in the day. All right, now last night, let's start with the Knicks and 76ers game. 76ers stayed alive, 112-106. And that game was one of the best games of the playoffs because the Knicks truly, it's got to be tough to be a Knicks fan at times. They gave up a lead of six with 28.2 seconds to go. And the way they did it is just the few things you cannot do in a situation where you're up six with 28 seconds to go. They foul Tyrese Maxey on a three. He gets a four-point play. Then they have a chance to go up by four. Josh Hart gets fouled. He splits the free throws to leave the door wide open. Then they don't foul when they're up three. Maxey comes down, knocks down a three from 35 feet, 97-97. They go to overtime. It was just it was kind of funny to see all the errors they made to go lose that game. That was the win was right there for them to take.
It was brutal,
and they snatched an L from the jaws of victory. I couldn't believe it.
As a lifelong Knicks fan for about two weeks, it's the most devastating loss that I have experienced. I don't understand how Knicks fans do it. I totally forgot about the Reggie Miller moment until last night. Everybody was bringing it up and saying Maxey just pulled off, had a Reggie Miller moment. It was a unbelievable collapse. With 28 seconds left, Miles McBride hit a shot, and they went up six. And you just felt like the game was completely over at that moment. And then, dumb foul. Four-point play. And you're like, wait a second. What just happened?
Can't foul, and you can't miss a free throw.
And then Josh Hart, he's going to get a free throw, and you're like, oh, Josh Hart, he's been a hero of the city. I'm pretty sure New Yorkers would die for Josh Hart right now. Misses a free throw. And then, earlier in this quarter, even before Miles McBride hit that shot, Jalen Brunson missed a couple free throws, too. They just had a few missed free throws in the fourth quarter. And then, I genuinely don't understand. I know that Maxey took that shot from the logo on the other side of the court. You foul him soon as he touches the basketball.
You pick him up from 94 feet and you
foul him. There is no way in hell you can allow that shot to go off. Because in my mind, knowing how this series went, I just assumed he was going to make the shot.
Yes, Tyrese Maxey's phenomenal.
As soon as Josh Hart missed that free throw, I looked at Kat and I go, this is going to overtime. I knew it was going to overtime. As soon as he missed that free throw, and then boom.
You don't foul the guy who's going to shoot the three and who went 7 for 12 from three.
This stupid 76ers team. I hate them so much. I'm going to power them into coming back from 3-1. I just know it. Joel Embiid was bad. He was bad. Yeah. It was so funny because I saw a lot of people saying Joel Embiid is at somehow devastating for this team right now, but also essential. And that's the accurate take. He had to be out there, but he was also hurting them.
Can I, of all the triple doubles I've seen in my entire
life, he had a triple double?
Yes.
No.
He had 19, 16, and 10, Connor. He had a triple-double.
Unethical triple-double.
That was the worst triple-double I've ever seen in my entire life.
He threw the ball away like
7 for 19 from 3, 1 for 4, or 7 for 19 from the field, 1 for 4 from 3, 9 turnovers to his 10 assists.
Dude, so I was running during the game, and I had it in my headphones because I couldn't watch it the whole time. But I was listening to it, and I kept hearing Joel Embiid throws the ball away. Joel Embiid throws the ball away. Yeah. Joel Embiid throws the ball away. And then it would be like, Maxey hit 5 3-pointers in a row to bring back the 76ers.
Tyrese Maxey,
and then Batum got going a little bit.
Tyrese Maxey, absolute star in this league.
Incredible.
And seeing that game last night, willing them to a victory behind 46 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 17 for 30 from the field, only had 3 turnovers to those 9 assists.
He was incredible.
I heard Andrea Carter say, like, he's a face of the league. I don't know about all that. But when we talk about superstars, guys that can take that leap going into next year, he made an all-star team this year, he can absolutely be a certifiable superstar going forward in his career.
And what's crazy is none of us saw it coming because he's the most improved player in the NBA. Yeah. Just nobody saw the guy who averaged 20-plus last year.
And also, if you just read the tea leaves on the 76ers, one, they were fine with getting rid of James Harden because they knew they had Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
And two, they will not, under any circumstances, trade Tyrese Maxey, even if it brought back a Kevin Durant, even if it brought back a absolute superstar, a proven superstar. They have never been in the market to go trade Tyrese Maxey. They've never even given a thought to it. And that was this offseason. That was offseason before that. They will not get rid of him. If you just pay attention to how they operate with him, it's been very clear that they expected him to make this leap. And over time, really, the 76ers took a hold. Jalen Brunson hit a 3 to tie it at one point. I believe it was at 106? I think that's when he hit a 3, and then the 76ers rallied off 6 straight points to go win the game. But I didn't really like the thought process from the New York Knicks in overtime. Jalen Brunson taking 8 of the team's 10 shots in overtime is just a little bit too much. You got to get more people involved than that because they know where the ball's going. You're Jalen Brunson. You've scored 40 points multiple times in this series. When it comes to crunch time, they know that you want to take those shots. You're going to have to offload it and get other people involved.
Right. I mean, the Knicks had a 5-point lead at one point in overtime. And then even when they got that, you felt like, okay, you know, Maxey hit that shot at the end of regulation, but the Knicks are at home. They're going to close this out in overtime. They got a 5-point lead, and then they just made dumb mistakes down the stretch. They were fouling. They were, you know, leaving wide open shots for Tyrese Maxey and allowing them to get rebounds. In this series, the Knicks, every single time they've been out-rebounded, they have lost. They got out-rebounded again last night, and that's one of the main reasons they lost. So it was one of those games where you're not quite sure how the Knicks lost because they were in control, it felt like, for most of the defining moments of the game. But Tyrese Maxey just had a truly phenomenal game that will probably go down in 76ers legend. I mean, 49 points in Madison Square Garden.
No, 46.
46. Man, what a game. What a game.
100%. Now, Cavs magic. Nothing really to write home about. Good game, 104-103. But the game-saving play there was from Evan Mobley. Great block. Great block on Franz Wagner to go win that game. Really, all
Paolo's on his way.
Paolo is there. Hooping. In my opinion, 39 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 14 for 24 from the field, 4 for 7 from 3. He can score from all three levels. He plays really good defense when he wants to lock in. He's there to me. I don't know if you can say he's on his way, really.
He's underrated. People don't give him enough credit.
He's a rookie of the year. Well, cuz he plays for the Magic, and the Magic are kind of they're teetering right now, and they could 40 games. They could definitely make a substantial leap going into next year.
How many games they win this year?
They won
47 games. Yeah, that's a huge jump since they've gotten Paolo. Paolo and Franz, man. Did you see the reports today?
What?
Paul George.
Oh, Paul George and the Magic. That would be a fun one.
That'd be real.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But Paolo, I mean, they're the 5 seed in the East. And the East is under-talked about.
Give the Magic credit, all right?
But I think Paolo's there, and I guess he doesn't get as much talk as he should, but I think that has to do with him playing in Orlando and this being the first year for them on the scene.
They're a fun team.
Now, the Bucks versus Pacers, I'm surprised this ended this way. Before I left, you could have faded me last night when I give my big game tonight, but I had the Pacers closing it out because you had no Giannis, you had no Dame, and you just sort of figured that it was headed this direction. But Chris Middleton, credit where credit's due, turned back the clock, 29 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, only 2 turnovers. That was a great game for him. The problem with him is you just don't have any confidence that he can do that game in, game out with sort of the injuries that have hindered him this entire year and just who he is. He's at this point in his career, he's 32 years old. He's been taking this downturn since sort of the back half of last season. And I just don't know if I have the confidence he can do that game in, game out. Now, when it comes to Dame and Giannis, Doc Rivers did give an answer. I don't know how confident I should be about the answer about their availability for Game 6. He said they're very, very, very close, Connor. How do we read that?
Neither of them were running on land. I think Giannis was running on land. Dame was running in water.
Yes.
I don't know. If they come back, this series is going to get interesting if Dame and Giannis come back. So, but I still have doubts about
which
that.
Which leads me to my question here. We have 3 series that are at 3-2 in the Eastern Conference. Knicks 76ers, Bucks Pacers, Cavs Magic. Who's most likely to come back from down 3-2? The Magic, the Bucks, or the 76ers?
As constructed right now.
Yes.
76ers.
But I think the where you're going with that, I agree with you. Where you're going with that is Bucks get Dame and Giannis back, we could absolutely be talking about them taking 2 straight games to end this series. But then if they come back, I have no hope that they'll be at even close to 100%. They'll probably be around 80-85%.
That's also very true. And also, all of this being said, it's happened one time in NBA history, a single time.
I would still be surprised if the Knicks did win their series, if the Pacers did win the series. I would still be very surprised. I am, to be honest, at this moment, I am very much rooting for the Knicks. And I think the Pacers have been a fun story. And if Dame and Giannis are going to be hurt, I think it'd be more fun to see the Pacers in the next
round. The Magic have been a sort of sleeper here that we have not been talking about. No team has won a game on the road in that series.
It's a very
weird
series.
And the Magic, if we're being honest, they have defended home court really well. Their two games that they won on their home floor were 121-83 and 112-89. And the closest game of the series was at the Cavs' place last night, 104-103.
It seems like we're going seven.
This transitions back to Orlando. I could see another sort of, 112-89 type game. Get to game seven. We'll see what happens on the Cavaliers' home floor. The
playoffs have been good.
They've been solid. They've been solid.
It's been a fun first round.
I'll say this about the when it comes to the Eastern Conference, I expected a lot of these series to be somewhat close.
Sure.
Just because outside of the Celtics, everyone was fighting, jockeying for a position. Western Conference has not been – the games have been okay. Like, every game of the Lakers-Nuggets series
was the series
good,
just wasn't
but it was
great.
4-1.
Yeah.
Timberwolves-Suns stunk on ice, frankly.
I had fun.
Stunk on ice, though. None of the games were very close. Thunder-Pelicans –
unwatchable.
I couldn't watch any of those games cover to cover. There's just no way. And luckily, the Clippers and Mavs, which we expected, is here to save us. Kawhi's rolled out for game five. Another thing in the Western Conference, Ramona Shelburne was reporting this about the Timberwolves coach Chris Finch. He is going to go through surgery to repair his patellar tendon. That's today. And we'll see if he'll be able to open the conference semifinal against the Nuggets on the bench. We'll see. We'll see. We need to get him one of those. You've ever seen those things they strap onto their legs for people who've gotten like an Achilles or a patellar tendon, and they have a bent leg. It's like a little peg leg.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get that for
speaking
Chris Finch.
Of that, the person who tore his patellar tendon, Mike Conley won best teammate in the NBA today.
Yeah.
He won the award. Of course he did.
Can we be honest?
Incredible.
Just copy and paste every year. Is there a better teammate in the damn league?
He is so important to what the Timberwolves do. He is so, so vitally important. And him still playing at this level at his age, I love Mike Conley, always will. I have said this a few times now. I think one of the main mistakes that the Lakers made was not going after Mike Conley when they could have. They could have had Mike Conley, and they decided not to.
Even at this age, like the steady he brings to that team it's underrated.
And his three-point shooting?
It's been phenomenal.
Lethal.
He was 40% guy this year, wasn't he?
I believe so. I think he may have had one of his highest seasons, if not his best season from three this year. I know it was the pull-up threes he did really well this year. Let me go look. I wonder.
When we talk about teammates, though, in this league,
he shot 44% from three this year. What?
There's nobody else in this league who you could put as a better teammate than Mike Conley. I know that sounds corny and cliche, but come on, man.
Yeah, 44% from three this year, 42% the year before. Wow.
We did not talk about the other two awards that have been won since Most Improved Player, Sixth Man of the Year, Clutch Player of the Year, which is still stupid to me that Steph Curry won Clutch Player.
Ridiculous.
Coach of the Year, Mark Daigneault from the – is that how you say his last name?
Sure.
I always struggle with that, from the Thunder. I think perfect.
Yeah,
head on.
Not bad.
And then Executive of the Year, I think I don't know how you give it to anybody else right now, Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
Bringing in Drew Holiday, adding Kristaps Porzingis, who will be out for, what did they say, several games? Several games? What's several?
I have no idea.
The way Woj put it out made me laugh because it said Kristaps Porzingis out for at least several games.
Well, and with this injury specifically, with the injury that he has specifically, we keep getting reports. Like, it happened with Giannis,
it's the soleus calf.
It happened with Giannis,
too. It's the same one that Giannis had.
The night that they get hurt or the day after, we get reports that are like, no Achilles tear. They're going to be out for a couple games. And then we'll get a follow-up report that's like, they're pretty damn injured. They're going to be out for a while. And we're like, which one is it? Like, so is that coming with KP? Because let me tell you, if they don't have KP, it's going to be difficult once they get to the conference finals and the NBA finals.
Out for at least several games. At least several games.
I think they could be okay without him in the next round.
You know how I read that, though? Like, 5-20 games. That's how I read that. And I know the playoffs may force him to play a little bit earlier, but, like, what are we looking at? 5-10 games, probably?
Hey, I will say, Xavier Tillman, he's not a terrible backup. He helps you with depth.
I mean,
he's good defensively. That's what they need him to do.
It's Al Horford. It's Al Horford.
Oh, well, yeah. Their defense will be okay.
Horford's going to have to play a lot of
minutes. It's the offensive impact that they're going to miss.
At age 85.
Quite literally, the only reason Al Horford is still on that team is because of Joel Embiid. Because he just makes his life a living hell every time he plays him.
Now, we have Heat versus Celtics tonight, so we'll see how that goes. Celtics have a chance to close that series out. They're 14-point favorites. I saw some rumors about Jaime Jaquez being a little bit sidelined right now. So it looks like he's actually out for tonight.
Oh, wow.
They're screwed. But also, this is that moment.
Zombie Heat.
This is kind of that moment where you're like, do I really count out the Heat after what I've seen the past 5 years with how that organization runs?
Well, this is when you think the zombie's dead and then it bites you in the leg.
Yes, exactly.
You're like, come on.
And then Mavs versus Clippers. Clippers at home. We've already had both teams win a road game. Throw it. Toss up. Toss up. Luka's going to play, even though he's going to be a little bit hindered. Kawhi's out, but... Also with that, Clippers have won both games in this series when Kawhi's been out. They've lost both games of the series when he's been in there. I think it's pretty clear at this point that they're not a better team without Kawhi, but they're a better team without, you know, Kawhi in this
hobbled state.
Hobbled, knee-issued state. Like, he's not the same player. Game two, Kawhi does not win you games. Game two, Kawhi of this series does not win you ball games. So... I think we're at that point. We'll see. I don't know if he's going to be able to make a comeback in this entire playoffs to at least be the Kawhi of old.
I would be very surprised.
Yeah.
Even when we saw him play, he wasn't Kawhi. It certainly wasn't the Kawhi that we saw this season.
And what might help the Thunder ultimately is if these teams end up going seven games.
Yeah. Well, Luka. I mean, today Luka said that his knee's not good.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.